Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. Time now to look at stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan de Burka Butler joins us once again. Good afternoon,
Sean,
Jonathan.
How you getting on?
Right, Rwanda, we're going to go to first. And what's the bleaching controversy? Is it a controversy?
Well, I suppose it is. It's become one now anyway, because the president, Paul Kagame, who's been there for eternity, has weighed in on the debate around it now. So he's responded to a tweet, apparently, or someone on social media who's basically called for authorities to put together a campaign and an action plan against skin bleaching, which apparently is a problem amongst women in Rwanda, as well as several countries across Africa. So it's effectively where women try and make their skin colour lighter. Okay. And according to the World Health Organization, at least 4 in 10 African women bleach their skin, and it can have very damaging effects, burns, and can lead to skin cancer, apparently. So it's not particularly well regulated. It's a multi-million dollar business, apparently. And so Kagame has decided to tell his authorities to respond to it, and they're going to try and crack down on the distribution and sale of the products that are used.
Yeah, that's. I think this is an issue in many African countries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kenya and the Ivory Coast, they took some measures a few years back, but an awful lot of it was talk, and there was no follow through, basically. So we'll see if the same happens in Rwanda.
Yeah, there's some South African pop star whose name completely escapes me, if I even took it in the first place, but she had a sideline in selling various products, but some of them were skin bleaching products, and but seemed unaware of what was in them. And I remember watching a Channel 4 show who said, "This is the list of ingredients in the stuff you're flogging." And she was genuinely horrified by it. Israel, we're going to go to next. More trouble for the Netanyahus. Yeah. Is it Mr. and Mrs.?
Mr. and Mrs. yet again. This is actually the third case, I think, this year where where the police are recommending that they be indicted. And now the Attorney General is going to have to decide whether they go ahead with bringing charges in this particular case against Netanyahu. It's kind of a replica of one that he's been involved in before, except this time it involves Bezeq, which is a telecoms firm, and he is suspected of awarding regulatory favours to them in return for positive media coverage on their media website, which is called Voila, apparently, with an exclamation mark at the end.
Of course it is, yes.
And as I said, it's a replica of charges that were brought against him in February. I think he did something similar where basically he said he would look upon one newspaper group favourably in exchange for looking at another news group unfavourably if he got positive feedback. And then, of course, there was those charges against him for taking apparently $250,000 from Arnon Milchan, who's a big Hollywood producer. He was a producer of The Revenant and Fight Club and LA Confidential. He's a billionaire, and apparently he took payments from him in order to extend his status as a returning resident to Israel, which meant that he got a 10-year tax break, basically.
Nice.
Which, of course, all billionaires need. That's what a billionaire needs, is tax breaks.
Indeed they do. Yeah, indeed they do. It's interesting, actually, because all the allegations are to do with kind of media. I don't know if that means anything or why that.
It does mean a lot, actually, to be honest with you, because he's massively into his image. And in fact, a lot of commentators would say that Sarah is, in many respects, the driving force behind this. She's actually up for charges as well, if you remember, for having dinner parties with extortionate bills. And there was a delay in that particular case.
And they produced that hilarious video of their house to show how ordinary they
are. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is bedroom number 17. It's just like yours. right, Australia we're going to go to now. And the first country in the world to recognise orphanage trafficking.
Yeah, this is a fascinating case. According to the body that was kind of behind this campaign or is drawing attention to it along with this legislation, Rethink Orphanages, 80% of children in orphanages across the world have at least one living parent. Okay, which of course means that they're not orphans, technically speaking, yeah. I suppose. Now, it doesn't say how many of that 80% have parents that don't have the means to look after them, okay? But I suppose that is their point in many respects. So what the Australian government are trying to do here is they're basically trying to draw attention to the fact that an awful lot of people, they feel, are being hoodwinked into going abroad, okay, and giving money to orphanages. Or at least organisations that take children away from their parents, okay, and use those children to lure well-meaning Western people, I suppose, into going to these places, getting their Facebook photo saying, "Am I a great person?" going back and feeling wholesome and good, when they're actually not. They're actually contributing to a situation where children are being exploited.
Though they might be aware of this, but kids might be actually stolen from a parent.
In the report Rethink Orphanage has published, they said that basically scouts, is what they call them, go to poor villages, and this is in Haiti, Nepal, Cambodia, wherever you want. They find poor kids, they say, "We'll take them, we'll give them food, we'll give them education, and as long as you more or less sign them over to us," the parents go, "Okay, we can't look after them." And basically they're trained to act like performing monkeys, effectively. Yeah. And they get money. The director of these organisations takes the money, pockets it, and the kids are given education, inverted commas, food, inverted commas. So it's every which way people are getting money taken from them.
Right. The Czech Republic we're going to go to now. There's a no confidence vote there.
There was, against Andrej Babiš, who's been the prime minister for a year and is really struggling to hold on. There was an investigation, I think it was done by Transparency International in the Czech Republic, their branch there, and it found that he had taken EU funds and had effectively used them for a conference centre that he owns and a farm that he owns, but weren't in his name. Now, this is something like 82 million euros that he got from the European Union, okay, funding from them to build these things and to buy them. They were in his children's name, apparently, right? And that's how he got away with it for so long.
Is their name not Babiš too?
It is indeed. it is Babiš, but this is how he says he's getting away with it. Now, extraordinarily, he actually survived the confidence motion, okay? They needed 101 votes to get rid of him. They only got 92. But he will be something of a genius if he manages to hold on. In another twist to this particular tale, his son, a couple of weeks ago, said that he had been kidnapped and sent to the Crimea because his father wanted to keep him quiet. Now, the media tracked him down. It's an extraordinary story. The media actually tracked him down. I think it was Al Jazeera actually tracked him down to his mother's house in Switzerland, where he's staying at the moment. And his father has said that his son is on medication and that he is mentally ill and there was no kidnapping involved. But either way, the authorities haven't had a chance to talk to his son, and he was one of the people who was named on that document of ownership. So,
curiouser.
Yes,
right. The Netherlands we're going to go to now, and this is a story about a church is holding. People often think that mass goes on for too long. This is a really long mass.
This has been going on since 1:30 on October the 26th in a church called Bethel Church in The Hague. And basically they're trying to prevent the deportation of our Armenian family who came to the Netherlands 9 years ago. Okay, there's five of them, two parents and three children. Apparently if this man goes back to Armenia because of his political views, his life will be in danger. There's a few extraordinary things about this story. They were actually given asylum a few years ago, and there was three appeals, not one, not two, but three appeals made by the Dutch government to get that decision overturned. They won on the last appeal, and so they want to send them back. These guys took refuge in a church, and there's a weird sort of a situation under Dutch law, which means that under most circumstances, which I would assume is unless there's extreme violence happening, the police cannot go into a church during a service. So what these people have done is they've had a marathon service ever since October 26th, as I said, and they've kept going. And as this story has sort of blossomed, more people have come on board. So they've now got something like 450 different priests, pastors, deacons, elders, all coming in, taking their turns to give their sermon, and they're keeping these people, giving these people sanctuary, I suppose, in this church. church.
That's quite extraordinary. We are actually going to talk to that priest tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant.
From The Hague. It is that. There you go. It's Father Ted in real time. Is there anything to be said for another Mass? And yes, there is in that instance. Right, Honduras, we're going to go to now. And seven men have been found guilty of killing an activist.
So this was an activist, a woman a lot of people might know her because she won the Goldman Prize in 2015 for her work in stopping the construction of a dam in her locality, which would have seen effectively a lot of people very badly affected, and a lot of people weren't happy about it because obviously they didn't make money out of the project. Mm-hmm. So she was shot in 2016 in her home. Berta Caceres was her name, and seven people have been convicted now. They're going to be sentenced in January, but all of them have been convicted for the murder. So there was four assassins and three people who organised it, and they're all going to be, as I said, convicted in January. Hopefully they get it's a short story, there's not much more to say other than hopefully they get long sentences.
Now, and finally, maybe a little glint of something good on between Pakistan and India, a foundation stone for a peace corridor.
Well, indeed, they are building a peace corridor. This is the Kartarpur Corridor, which they're building in Punjab. So Punjab was sort of split in two from 1947. So part of it is in Pakistan, part of it in India. But at two points, there's a Sikh temple on either side of the border. So they're using that as an excuse to build a corridor so that Sikhs can go on pilgrimage from one temple to the other without visas.
Okay.
A nice test case, if you like.
Okay.
So that's what's happening. Now, as to whether this will lead to further dialogue, it seems unlikely. A statement from the Indian government basically said that bilateral dialogue and the Kartarpur corridor are two different things. The moment Pakistan stops terrorist activities in India, the dialogue can start. So a glimmer of hope, perhaps, or whatever's less than a
very,
glimmer.
Very dull glimmer. Right, so what should we look out for this week, Jonathan?
There's an OPEC meeting this Thursday, and I think Macron is very interesting at the moment because he's off to Serbia, flying around the world as he does.
Well, I'd say he'd go anywhere after that week he's had.
Yeah, but he seems to fly an awful lot for a guy who wants to sort of save the environment and wants to raise fuel prices. He seems to go on charm offensives all over the world, so interesting.
Presumably they're fueling the jet with the cheap fuel while
of
it's still cheap fuel in
the
France.
Solar panelled jet.
Right, Jonathan, thanks very much for coming
thanks,
into
Sean.
Us. Jonathan de Breckenwald there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.